You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hello and welcome to the On The Money podcast. It's Thursday, the 24th of July. I'm Stephanie Youssef, filling in for Ricardo Gonçalves. Today, the ASX has closed 0.3% lower. I'll have a bit more on that a little later with Muthan Somasundaram. But first, the Reserve Bank governor has defended the central bank's cautious approach to cutting interest rates, warning it could take longer to get underlying inflation under control. It was part of her annual Anika Foundation speech that she delivered in Sydney today. Let's take a listen to some of what she had to say.
Over the past couple of years, we have made meaningful progress in bringing inflation down. Higher interest rates have been working to bring aggregate supply and demand closer towards balance. We expect headline inflation in the June quarter to be in the lower half of our 2-3% target range, but that's headline, and that partly reflects ongoing effect of temporary cost of living relief. As that relief unwinds, we expect headline inflation to pick up to around the top of the band by the end of this year and into the first part of 2026. So to help look through some temporary factors like this, we also pay close attention to trimmed mean inflation or underlying inflation, and that's published quarterly. And that provides a good guide to underlying inflation trends. And I'm pleased to say this measure is also easing, but it's still a bit higher than headline inflation. It was at 2.9% in the March quarter, with year-ended trim mean under 3% for the first time since 2021. So that was very pleasing. We do expect trim mean inflation to fall a little further in the June quarter in year-ended terms. However, the monthly CPI indicator data, which are volatile, suggests the fall may be not quite as much as we forecast back in May. We still think it will show inflation declining slowly towards 2.5%, but we are looking for data to support this expectation. Now, encouragingly, as inflation slowed, the labour markets eased only gradually and the unemployment rate is relatively low. Now, I'll have more to say on developments in the labour market later. Since February, we've reduced the cash rate by 50 basis points. The board continues to judge that a measured and gradual approach to monetary easing is appropriate. Global economic and policy developments have so far been largely in line with our May baseline forecasts, and the likelihood of a severe downside trade war appears to have diminished a bit. But there's still uncertainty and unpredictability in the global economy. The board's view is that monetary policy is well placed to respond decisively to adverse international developments if it's needed.
That was Reserve Bank Governor Michelle Bullock speaking in Sydney. Turning back to the Australian share market, which finished in the red today, the ASX 200 shed almost 28 points to end at 8,709 points. 10 of the 11 sectors ended lower, with only healthcare in the green. I spoke to Muthan Somasundaram from Deep Data Analytics, who says overseas trade developments are having an impact on investor behaviour.
Well, we had a bit of a bounce yesterday, and that kind of flowed into for the Japanese trade deal. And that kind of had an optimism play out in US as well. The details of those kind of trade deals are always murky. The Japanese prime minister was supposed to resign, and then he said he's not resigning. And the Japanese government, I was actually in Japan earlier this month, so it was actually an interesting time frame all of this to happen. The Japanese government has lost their, I guess, majority on the upper house. They lost the lower house last year. So even if there is some kind of deal, it still has to go through the parliament, I guess the houses, and they don't have the majority. So it's going to get tricky. And so the market is starting to, I guess, digest that. And the optimism about the Japanese trade deal flagging that potentially that's going to set the tone for a European deal, that's got a bit more spicy. So that's why the market is rolling over, and we haven't seen the follow through in the commodities as much as most people expected.
As you mentioned, the US and Japanese stocks are high off the back of that trade deal, and it appears the that Europe and US are nearing a deal. Does that potentially signal an easing of these global trade tensions that have dominated the markets this year?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. Our view has been from the start, US just started the trade war to hide the fact that they wanted to put a GST type tax on US consumers. So the easiest way to say it is everyone else is paying, you're not paying. But we all know that it's the Americans that are paying it. So they started with a base case scenario around 10% and put ridiculous numbers that no one was going to sustain, and then pull back to that number. So generally, what we're seeing is most of the countries are going to get 10%. The major trading partners are probably going to get 10 to 15%. China's probably going to come down to 20%. China is holding rare earth as a bargaining chip, which America has no choice but to play ball. Ignoring all the spin, Americans are probably going to face somewhere around a 15% GST type tax on all the goods that are coming from outside, which is majority of it. So that's what the government has been trying to put in to basically fund the tax cut, which it's not going to fund it, but at least it looks like it's bringing in money. So really, Americans are getting a GST. If everyone around the world gets a tax around 10 to 15%, it really doesn't change the competitive dynamics of importers going into, sorry, exporters going into US. So then it doesn't matter for everyone else. It only matters for US. So in theory, it's just a 10 to 15% tax on US consumers, and that's where we're going to settle. So we'll probably get a few more rumbles. People will, skirt talk up and down, but in the end, they'll settle down. Europe will probably come down to 15%. Canada and Mexico probably settle around 15% or 20%, and China will probably go to 20%.
Now, all eyes today have been on the RBA governor, who's delivered an annual address speaking on inflation and joblessness. Does this give us an indication as to how the central bank might act over the coming months and in terms of rate cuts, and in turn, how markets could react?
Yeah, I think it's a tough game. She's inherited, she's damned if she does, damned if she doesn't. She's trying to manage a complicated mess. We're sitting in a property bubble. There's zero doubts. I mean, there's property bubble around the world. We're probably one of the worst. And we have, what, 95% of our mortgages are variable rates. So we are really on the edgy side of things. So she has to be pretty careful. But unemployment is very low. That's their two main things. So the inflation and unemployment. Inflation has still in their range. So technically they can, but indicators are that it's going up. And that's what she said. So that kind of tells you one side of the argument. The other side, and she said the labor market is still quite tight, which is true. Because if you look at last 20, 30 years, anything with a four in front of it is very low unemployment. I know people are going to say, oh, well, it was a three before. But the reality is, when it was three, we're doing these massive handouts where the government was paying people to stay at home. So that's not going to happen unless we've got another one in 100 year event. So, in that context, I think the 4% unemployment is very low. She's got quite a good leeway to let it run to 5% and see. And if she is indicating that trim mean inflation is likely to pick up, then it makes sense for her to hold, and which is what they did last time, which surprised the market. But in saying that, the markets are, pretty much pricing in a rate cut coming. Mind you, that's what they did last month too, and it didn't play out. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't think they should cut, because we're not in any situation where the economy is in trouble, or barely a scratch on it. And so there's no real reason for us to cut. Asset prices are at all-time high, unemployment at near all-time lows. There's just insanity that we're thinking about rate cut, but it could happen, and the market is expecting it. So we'll have to wait and see.
What company news is catching your attention today?
Yeah, look, we're starting to see some of the consumer stocks come into the market and report really badly. I mean, we had Chipotle in the US come out and cut their guidance. That's the first of the big consumer stocks, and it was hit hard. And similarly, we had Bapcor in Australia report today, and Bapcor got hit by about 20 to 30%. So We're starting to see cracks appear. Consumers are pulling back their spending, which is logical because we're coming through a rising cost of living. People are under pressure. Interest rates are going to remain relatively high, despite what central banks say. So in that scenario, I think the consumers were always going to, we've been surprised how long they've held out, and people have been just borrowing. And that's a global trend, not just in Australia. And you can see why buy now, pay later is, running hot as well, because everyone is basically borrowing every which way they can. So we're beginning to see consumers trying to curb their spending, and that's starting to turn up. So it may be the early indicator into the reporting season. It's really tough for cyclical retail media type stocks to report a guidance that's going to be pretty patchy going into this cycle. So that's going to be the tricky event. And I think Bapcor is a classic environment, and Macquarie today. That was a downgrade. That's probably a few negative downgrades, and that's been one of them. And Macquarie is probably considered the best quality bank in our segment, in our market, and it's downgraded. And we've got a banking sector that's trading at 20-year high multiples, so something doesn't add up.
And finally, where are the opportunities for investors?
Look, I mean, the Reserve Bank chief is telling you they're worried about inflation, and that's been our main thematic for a while now. We are invested in inflation sectors. We think things like gold, which is a hedge against inflation and market risk, remains relatively cheap despite its trading near all-time high. We think other energy, I mean, sorry, energy and food sectors, which are classic inflation plays, will benefit from that. And energy is rebounding in the last couple of months. Food is another one that's unloved because of the nature of the risk in that sector. But we think the inflation cycle, as a consumer, you and I don't have a choice. We need to have fuel, we need to have energy, we need to heat our houses in this cold winter, we need to buy food to eat. All of these things are become standard buy. So that's where inflation comes through. That's where the inflation hits, and people will keep spending. So in that context, go where everyone's worried that things are going to go wrong and take benefit of it. So food and energy are the other sectors where we think you'll benefit.
That was Mothan Somasundaram, the founder and CEO of Deep Data Analytics.
This SBS On the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.